Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, professor of transformational leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential. And today, we're going to talk about how to deal with gossip at work. Gossip at work. What is gossip? It's meaningless, directionless, backbiting. It doesn't mean everything you talk about at the water cooler. What you talk about at the water cooler is necessary for the company's functioning. When we talk about communication in organizations, we talk about informal communication outside of the hierarchy. That's really what makes companies tick. But some companies are more purposeful than others. Some companies, everybody knows why the company exists. They have a clear sense of purpose and mission, so the informal conversation serves the company better than the ones where there isn't a clear sense of mission and purpose, or the company is hypocritical and it's not really following its own intention and purpose. And the employees sense that discontinuity. They sense the dishonesty. And that tends to put the employees into a position of gossip because the company lacks integrity. We're going to talk today about a solution to that, preferably with a company that has a clear sense of mission, purpose, and goals, and individuals who are really looking to be their best self, because that's what we're talking about today, is bring out the best blog talk radio. So we're going to go into that. We're going to talk about ways that we can intend positive conversation even when other people are gossiping. So our first caller is Rich. He says, I don't want to create reason for gossip at work. How do I best discuss a possible transition with my current boss? Transition. Tell me about it, Rich.
Well, yes, I think you pointed out correctly. How do I discuss a possible transition with my current boss? I'm thinking about moving to another place. I'm not sure if I should or shouldn't. Because I'd like to have that conversation with my employer to see where the company is headed and what the next direction is going to be. So how do I go about doing that?
Well, one of the first ways to do that is to ask your boss for feedback on how you're doing. And does he see you ready for that next level? And what will it take to get to that next level? And where does your boss see you going? Because the company wants you to help it move forward. Well, if it wants you to help it move forward, it needs to look at how to help you move forward.
I understand. Now, what if the company's so small that you already know that answer and you already know that you've capped out, so to speak?
Well, is it a company that wants to grow?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, if it's a company that wants to grow, how do you know you've capped out?
Because it's currently at in a valley, so to speak.
How does it come to be in this valley?
I think because of financial and business constraints, wherein the company is not financially very stable at the moment, but is hoping to be soon. And so right now we're at the lowest point, while also being at a peak, the lowest point in funding, but the highest point in terms of popularity.
So, do you believe in the company's mission?
Yes.
Do you believe the company could be moving more assertively and aggressively towards its mission?
I believe that it's possible. I just don't think that it is because of higher leadership.
Okay. Is your boss part of that higher leadership?
Yes.
Okay. Is your boss under-expecting and underperforming?
Over-expecting and under-delivering. I wouldn't say underperforming.
Well,
he's definitely performing, yeah.
No, then he's not over-expecting. He's just fantasizing.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it, yeah.
So he's in la-la land, and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your
exactly.
responsibility for him getting out of la-la land?
Say
By
again?
The way, think carefully. That's a trick question.
Okay. So, so what do I do?
What's your responsibility? Answer my question first.
I feel like I should just tell him up front.
Okay.
And I feel like having that conversation with him, it might not be comfortable, but it's probably the most helpful because it's the most appropriate way to go about it, because if I don't tell him, nobody else will.
I always look at do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to bring this up is to say, I'd really like to stay with this company, but I need to be more challenged, and I don't believe you're using me fully, and I don't know that you're even using yourself fully.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
What?
That's good. That's very good.
So we've got a lot of potential that's not getting fulfilled. To realize our purpose and our mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got this popularity right now, so I want to make sure that we maximize that.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
Turn
I think that's
loose,
a good direction
boss.
Headed.
So turn me loose, boss, and let's really kick some butt. I've
yeah,
got
sounds
lots
good.
More potential than I'm using.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And,
okay,
and
I think
I
that's a good way to go about
up.
It.
And I want to be used up.
Okay. Yeah, I think
okay,
that's
what?
A fantastic way to approach it.
So you always want to deliver your criticisms in terms of the company's purpose, mission, goals, and its potential. And how you and others can maximize that mission realization and goal achievement by doing X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
And your boss
yeah.
must feel that you want him or her to win.
Okay. I got you. I got you. Okay, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Go get
Bye-bye.
It. So our next caller is Asif. And he says, what can I do about gossip between my company and a company we're doing business with? This has been going on for years. How can I shift both organizations out of this drama? Asif, tell me about it.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, like I said, I mean, this has been going on for a few years now, and, we seem to be caught up in this drama triangle where, we feel like the vendor underproduces, and so we feel persecuted by the vendor, and then we persecute them back by expressing our anger and dissatisfaction. And this keeps going back and forth. I feel like the vendor takes on more than they can handle, but then they don't say no. They say we can do it, but then they don't. And neither side is satisfied, and we seem to be just caught up in this drama triangle. And, and then both companies are gossiping about the other, and it's just really frustrating and no satisfaction.
Well, hang on just a second, because I've got to understand – how come you're not putting this out to bid to get a better vendor?
There's two components. There aren't that many vendors that perform in this space. So that's one point. And then, you know, when we did this back about, I want to say about 6-7 years ago, there's a huge investment that we invested into the infrastructure for this corporation. So now to go out and get another vendor, we're talking about millions of dollars of reinvesting.
Well, another option is to buy out that infrastructure and their staff.
Yeah, that's that's an option. I think that we could explore.
And to define the performance standards more fully and put financial consequences on failure to meet minimum standards.
And we've tried that. We've tried the financial consequences, and even the end result of that is, yeah, we might not pay them, but then we're still unsatisfied because we need to get this project done to get our financial goals, right? So, yeah, we could try to penalize them. We've tried that in the past, but in the end, yeah, we might not pay them, but we're still stuck with this unrealized project that's supposed to have financial gains.
So the next project gets defined as you either perform, you give them all their history, you say you either perform as you promise, or you must sell us back our investment and allow us to hire the personnel.
Okay. And put that into the contract?
You betcha.
Okay. So the first option, like buying them out.
Right.
And thinking about that
the
one.
Other
the second option
is, if the other option is to let them know that they're in breach of contract on any number of things and that it's not going to happen again without serious repercussions, not only the financial problems, but that you're going to get your lawyers in. I would discuss with lawyers first. Now, that's a structural solution.
Right.
Let me go back to your initial question about the gossip. Because
okay.
I have a suspicion that there's more going on than you're acknowledging, and that your company is part of the problem.
Absolutely.
And
they are.
That your staff are making excuses for their poor performance and not owning the success of the client.
Okay, can you say more?
It's kind of like the United States and Russia. We each blame the other for our failure, but nobody ever takes 100% responsibility.
Right, yeah.
So there's a leadership failure in your organization, and there's a leadership failure with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that I don't think until very recently that we were even considering. You know, it was definitely about the other company, and it was always their fault, and, you know, not really looking at how are we contributing to this. So that is something new that I am exploring. But you're right.
Are you contributing? How are you contributing? I'll put money that you're authoring and originating the failure, and that your staff are thrilled to have someone external on whom they can blame their failures. See, you start really holding that company accountable, it's likely going to hold your company accountable, and you're going to find all kinds of things that are missing. It's kind of like our marriage. So Judith and I got together, and she used to cook a lot, and she would fill the kitchen garbage can to overflowing, and I'm a very good partner in that it gets to half, three quarters full. I pick it up and I throw it out. But she'd get cooking, and she'd go from a third full to overflowing. And then when I tried to wrap it up, I would get coffee grounds and banana peels on the floor. So I said to her, done, over, I'm not complaining anymore. The next time I find coffee grounds, banana peels, and whatever it is on the floor, you are going to find that in a place that you don't want to find it. So she had something to say to that. She said, oh, well, what about the soft sculpture? I'd never had a four-poster bed before, and I would leave my underwear and clothes on the four-poster bed. She says, what about the soft sculpture you make in the bedroom all the time? I am going to make sure that you lose whatever it is that you hang there. A post on the bed is not meant for clothing. So that began the war of accountability. And I did find my clothes tucked inside my pillowcase one night. That was her warning shot. She never found garbage in her stuff because she was too scared about finding it and knew that I meant business. And she took care of it. So what's the lesson in this? We call that accountability. I have never intended to hold her accountable when I would complain. But as soon as I held her seriously accountable, she began holding me more accountable, and this was the beginning of our home being manageable. Because our closets got more accountable because I wanted it. More of my behavior became accountable because she wanted it. And we began becoming great partners at home management. And it carried over into lots of other spheres, too. So you can't con a con. The gossip is all obfuscating. It is covering up and hiding each side's failure to hold accountability. And it is a displacement, an excuse, a perfect representation of the lack of intentionality. Help me understand the silence.
I'm taking it in. It's a lot to take in, and our own accountability, that's what comes first. What are we not doing, taking ownership for what we're asking for and what we're expecting?
It's the only reason you let it get this bad.
Yeah.
Had you intended to be satisfied, your organization would have put the pedal to the metal, the hammer, over their heads, and they would have either performed or you would have replaced them much sooner.
Yeah.
But there is a great opportunity for you as a leader to take charge of this, even if you're not the highest level person in the game.
Right. No, and that's my intention. I want to let this soak in. I also want to have a coworker, listen to this and then, take it to my boss next.
But your coworker is going to give you a lot of excuses. It's how it works. Your coworker.
Well, he's as frustrated as I am he is as frustrated as I am. We've been talking about how we can shift this.
Well, one of the first things you say is no more gossip, and we don't miss a deadline.
Yeah.
And we don't use them as an excuse. We learn to manage them so they deliver what we need when we need it, but we are in the habit of excuses. We have not intended this to be a successful relationship, and I am intending that we will change that. And I expect our attorneys to be in on it. I expect all of us to be in on it. And I expect us to demonstrate complete impeccability in terms of our deliverables.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Intention. Yeah, absolutely.
Intentionality. Thanks
yeah.
very much. Go get 'em.
Thank you.
Yeah, so to summarize today, we're talking about what's the purpose of the company and what's the mission of the company. And are we fully harnessed in that mission? And to take intentionality and really understand the best example I have seen of intention. I'm going to tell you, first of all, too often I get into conflict when I didn't need to. Or I complain when I didn't need to. But I'm working on having clear, laser beam intentionality. So I'm going to leave you with a story to consider. I was coaching the CEO of a national brand, big company, who used to fly into town for coaching with me. And we were having lunch at a restaurant in downtown Chicago. And the waiter was taking our order, and the waiter took our drink order first, and he said he would like a 7-Up. The waiter said, "I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have 7-Up. He said, "I understand. I understand. You know, that kind of thing happens all the time. You know, it happened to me at my club the other day, and I ordered for blue cheese dressing with my salad, and the waiter said, "Sir, we don't have any blue cheese dressing, but I believe if you can wait 10 minutes, I can have blue cheese dressing for you." He says, "I'm not in any hurry. I'll be glad to wait 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, the waiter came back with blue cheese dressing for me. So, at any rate, thank you very much. I'll just drink water. What do you think happened? 5 minutes later, a glass of ice and a can of 7-Up appeared on our table. And the waiter had gone to the canteen, gotten the 7-Up, and brought it back. The lesson to me was, oh my God, what clear intention to get what he wanted gracefully. And that's been a touchstone for me the rest of my life, helping me ask myself a very challenging question. To what extent did I really focus and intend what I wanted to get, and to what extent did I pick a fight because I didn't know how to intend and get it more gracefully? So intention. Asif's company has an opportunity to live with clean intention, that they intend to get all of their deliverables done. And if the other company is in the way of them getting their deliverable done, they will drive that company harder sooner, and the back and forth excuses will not cause a cloud of obfuscation to emerge and hide everything. And Rich is giving us a slightly different lesson. What's the purpose and what's the mission of the company? And to what extent are we tapping our resources to fulfill that? So Rich gets to work on his intending company success when he's not the boss. That is when we really are seeing significant intentionality and personal power. So, in our work on our right developmental levels, intention is level three. And most of our intentions got damaged because parents don't know how to deal with a child that's having the terrible twos. Parents are messed up as authority figures. They either squash us or they back off and we get too powerful, which is, by the way, the infrequent outcome. And we end up having mixed emotions about that. So what does that mean to the two-year-old? As the parents impeccably, and it's impossible, never happened, give that child choice when the child's saying, no, or I hate you. The parents say, well, that's your choice. But do you want to do this or do you want to have quiet time? Do you want to do this or do you want to lose ice cream? Do you want to do this or do you want to do that? They always give the child choice. When that child has a sense of choice, that child harnesses their intention and become more effectively assertive and learn to do that the rest of their lives on a firm foundation of belief that their life is theirs. And they may not always get what they want, but it is their life, and wanting is a useful thing to do, and they will get better and better at doing what they want until they can do it as well as that CEO that I used to coach. May take a lot of years to do that, but we get better and better at intending an outcome. We get better and better at enrolling others in that outcome. We get better and better at cutting our own excuses and holding ourselves more accountable to deliver, which is what Asif's dealing with. And what Rich is dealing with is getting better and better at holding ourselves accountable to fulfill the company purpose and mission. Rich may get fired, but he will have done it by seeking to maximize service towards the company mission and goals. So I want to thank you today for joining me on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I would love to have you join us for our next evening event on October 28th. How to get what you want, three keys to success. We're going to build on intentionality, and you're going to learn how to harness your own intentionality for more satisfaction and fulfillment. The three keys to success. Register at SEIEvents.com. That's SEIEvents.com. I hope to see you virtually via video or here in person. Thank you very much for joining us today. Bring out your best. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright.